and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, oh, be merry. But God said to him, fool, for this night your soul will be required of you.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, hello, everyone. It's great to have you tuning in to continue Pastor Bill's study from the Epistle of 2 Corinthians. Today, Pastor concludes the message, The Joy of Generosity. Now, Pastor Bill.
He came to save us. Every time, loved one, you give to our global work or our local work, you know what you do? You change a person's life. You do exactly what Jesus called us to do. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 19:17, he who has pity on the poor lendeth unto God, and God will pay back what has been given. See, the joy of generosity, he's our true example, and he is the only example that we will ever, ever need for all of our giving. Why is that? Because our giving should be rooted in how he gave. What does it say, John 3:16? You know it by heart. For God so loved the world, he gave. He gave us his son, that when we believe in him, we would not perish, would not burn in hell, man, but we would have everlasting life. It says, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through Jesus' poverty, might become rich. See, he became what we were, poor. We became what he was and still is, rich. Do you understand that? And I say, Bill, what are you trying to say? Are you talking about money right now? No, I mean, I wish you were all millionaires, as long as it didn't put you in bondage. Amen? You know? But listen, what does that mean? It means this. If you are a believer, no, let me back up. If you are an unbeliever, Jesus loves you. He died for you. God loves you. God wants you. But you're a poor person. I don't care if you're a multimillionaire. I don't care if your name's Warren Buffett or Bill Gates. You're poor. You can gain the whole world but lose your soul. You're poor. But if you are a believer, if you have asked Christ Jesus to be the Lord of your life, oh, loved one, listen, just like I told the prayer team yesterday when we were praying before we departed, I said, you're the richest people in all of the universe. We're co-heirs with Christ. Amen? Oh, listen, not only that, I don't know about you. I'm a citizen of heaven. When I leave and get into my jet this afternoon and get out on 820, I'm going to say, I'm a citizen of heaven, buddy. You know what I'm saying? Yes, not only that, I'm a co-heir of Christ. Not only that, yeah, I'm called of God. You're called of God. Do you know who you are? Do you know? Listen, when you walk out of this place, you need to say, I'm an ambassador of Christ. I am called of God. I'm chosen of God. I'm appointed by God. I'm sent by God. I've been given the ministry of reconciliation by God. I'm under the grace of God. Not only that, loved one, listen, the Bible tells us that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the saints of God. You have been gifted. You are eternally redeemed. And no matter what you face in this life, no matter what's going to happen to you, you are more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen? Now, do you believe that? Well, I'm going to die. Yes, you're going to die unless the rapture happens. But you know what? Every Christian, they die in victory. Every Christian, I'm penniless, you die in victory. Oh, but I don't have no one around me. I'm all alone. You die in victory. Listen, to be in Christ, you have overcome the world. Amen? Not only that, you have been endued with power from on high, but not enough power to give. Never experiencing the joy of generosity. That's why Paul says in verse 10, and in this I give advice, in other words, my opinion. It is to your what? It's to your advantage. He's talking to them. He's talking to me and you. It's to your advantage. I mean, that word means profit. It means benefit. It means it's an investment. It is to your advantage, not only to be doing what you began, and were desiring to do a year ago. So in other words, you better finish now what you started, meaning the money, the offering. You know, listen, let me ask you a question. That word advantage, again, means investment. Are you looking for a great investment? Listen to what the Word of God says in 1 Timothy 6:18. It says, do good. They that are rich, be rich in good works. Here it comes. Ready to give, willing to share, storing up, or that word literally in the Greek means amassing treasures for yourself, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, meaning their future in heaven, that they may lay hold or seize on eternal life, meaning to have real life and real living. Loved one, listen to me. Invest in eternal things. Lay up your treasure in heaven. Amen? There's no moth, there's no rust, nothing's going to eat, no one's going to steal it. Oh, no. Man, every time you give to God, you're laying up in heaven. Amen? That's what's so important. That's why there's such joy in all of that. Verse 11, but now you almost must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there should also be a completion of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted, meaning literally accepted by God, according to, watch this now, to what one has, not according to what he does not have. The incredible, wonderful joy of generosity. It says, first, willing. See, a lot of people are willing, but they don't follow through. They want to. Loved one, listen to me. Isaiah 1:19, it says, if you be willing, and then the next part is obedient, you will eat the good of the land. You see, if you're willing, carry it through. Amen? That's what Paul is talking about, but he's talking about more. Look at it again. It says, not according to what he has, doesn't have, but what according to what he has. Two differences there. Now listen, what Paul is saying is this. When you give, no matter what it is, when you give, God sees the heart gift. Remember, a wallet doesn't have any life in it. You do. So God sees the heart gift, not taking out the wallet or the hand gift. Okay? So, you know what? You might, some people say, oh, I've given a great amount today or whatever. Praise the Lord. But was your heart in it? You understand? You see, was your heart in it? You might give just a little, and you say, and in your heart you go, oh, God, I want to give more, but I don't have any more. I can't do it. God sees that. God takes note of that. He sees everything that you do. God loves a cheerful giver. Amen? Now listen, remember when Jesus was standing with his disciples there at the treasury at the temple, and remember what he saw and what he said? It says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 1, it says, and Jesus looked up and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites, an eighth of a cent. Not much you could do with that. And listen to what Jesus said now to his disciples. He said, oh, truly, amen and amen, truly I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all of them. Now listen, how many rich people and all the others do you think that were giving, they had to give? Man, I mean, can you imagine how much was given that day? Jesus looking and said, oh no. He said, you know what? He says, that woman has given more than all. How could that be? All right? And Jesus then said, for all these rich people, all the other people as well, gave out of their abundance. Well, they put in offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had. What did Jesus just say? He was amazed. He said this woman's giving was absolutely priceless. Why? Because that word life, bios, living. She put in her entire livelihood. And after she put it in, she had nothing else left. Now listen, It wasn't about what she put in. It was about the poor widow woman's heart. Do you get it? He saw her heart, and her heart was going, oh, this is all I have. I don't know how I'm going to get home. I don't know how I'm going to pay for my cable TV. I don't know how I'm going to go stand in line for 5 hours to see the Avenger movie. She said, it belongs to him. The joy of giving unto God. When you give, are you joyful? Do you have the joy of generosity? Look what Paul says. Look at it again, verse 13. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened. In other words, if you're rich, I don't want you to become poor. And if you're poor, you're not to become rich. And he says, and here's the reason. But by an equality that now at this time, your abundance, in other words, your prosperity, may supply their lack, meaning the saints at Jerusalem, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. In other words, hey guys, you Corinthians are doing pretty good right now, but one day you might be in trouble and they'll help you back out. And he gives us the example of manna from heaven, remember, from Exodus 16, 18. Look what he says, as it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. So everybody went out the same day. You know how the Lord sent the manna from heaven and so forth. They all gathered up. They all shared the same thing, and no one had any lack at all. Now, what happened, though, to those who gathered more than they needed, hoarded it? What happened? It started stinking, didn't it? It started rotting, you know, and so forth. Man, do you know, listen, there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. There's nothing wrong with making sure your children are going to have a college education if that's what you want, and all whatever you do. But don't hoard what belongs to God. Amen? Yeah, we don't want to ever, ever do those things. Remember the parable of the rich man that Jesus spoke about, what he did, how he hoarded the money? It says in Luke 12:16, and Jesus spoke a parable saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. In other words, he had a bumper crop, okay? I don't know, farmer, whatever he was. And then he thought within himself saying, now listen to the word I over and over and over. He says, well, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? I mean, I have 3 cars now, but only have a 2-double car garage. I need a, you know. He said, oh, I'll do this. I'm going to pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store, or I will hoard all my crops and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up or heaped up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, oh, be merry. You keep living the dream, in other words, you know. But God said to him, fool. What a word. You're a fool. For this night, your soul will be required of you. You know, we don't own our soul, do we? One day it'll be demanded back. It's appointed unto man once to die, then cometh the judgment. He says, that night or this night, your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you've provided? What a sad thing to be like that rich man. He owned everything, but he owned nothing. The only thing he owned, the only thing he had, was what was on this stinking planet. That's it. He didn't have anything else. He trusted the abundance of things in his life. He even said, I'm going to hoard everything. You know what's sad? You know what? That man, he died. He died. And you know what kind of life began for him? A life in eternity without God forever. What a word. Jesus went on to say, so is he, or so is anyone, who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. That's a powerful word, isn't it? Yeah. You know, I was talking to some people the other day that they're hurting, these charities are hurting because I guess you can't write off tax contributions or whatever, and the churches as well. And so their giving is down. And you know what? I couldn't write off my contributions this year. I don't know why, but you know, whatever that tax law passed, and I don't care. I don't give to God to have tax write-off. Do you understand? No, I give to the Lord because it belongs to him. Oh, man, listen. Jesus didn't say to this guy, you know what, you're a bad man. He didn't say you're a bad family man. He didn't say you're a crummy person. He didn't say you're, or, you know, any of those, or any of those things. He just said you're a fool. And you know why that man was a fool? Because he lived without God, and he died without God, and he believed that hoarding and having all this funds is what he trusted in. Do you know there are believers in our nation, in every church? They make six figures, but they give $10, maybe $20 a week to the Lord. There's a problem there. Do you know that? That's a sin as far as I'm concerned, to hoard that what belongs to the Lord. No. Now listen, I'm going to skip verse 16 to 24. I'll pick that up next Sunday. But now listen to me. I want to just, let's close this thing out just for a second and listen to my heart. Now, I told you at the very beginning of this sermon, I said to you, and I was right, true, I said, I'm not going to talk about money. Well, I really haven't. I said, I'm going to talk about your heart concerning money. And that's what's important. That is what is vital about you giving to God. You see, remember, money is not living. It's not alive. It doesn't have a heart. It doesn't think. It takes on the characteristics of the person who has the money. You got it? Okay, very, very important. My question to you this morning, you know I love you, but listen to me. Come on. Have you all, and I know many of you have, but if you haven't experienced the joy of generosity, why not? Why not? I mean, you know, why is it today, more so than any time, and I've been a Christian a long, long time, loved one, pastor a long time. Why is it that today, I mean, why does it, the word tithe or the word giving or mission fund or building fund or giving or money, why does it bother not all Christians, but some Christians? I mean, I don't understand that. We're born from above. We're a new creation in Christ, amen? Now, we're a different kind of people. You know, we have the divine nature of God living in our hearts. Oh, loved one, listen, how can I take the word tithe or giving or offering or whatever you want to call it, how can I turn that from a word that may be negative in the heart of a believer to something that is a joyous, positive thing? I mean, why is it today, Malachi 3:10, for example, about bring all your tithes and offerings, why does that offend people? Christians. There's not a jet runway out here. Do you understand? Why does that offend people? Well, is that, you know, I'm under grace. Bill, I'm not talking about grace right now. I'm talking about the Word of God. That Word is just as real today as it was back then. But, you know, so many Christians, they don't understand Malachi 3:10. You know why? All they see is tithes and offerings. They get shut down. They don't see the theme of Malachi 3:10, which is the incredible faithfulness of God. When he says, oh man, I love you so much, here's what I want you to do. He says, prove me now. Put me, Almighty God, the creator of everything, put me to the test. Put me to the test and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven for you. See if there'll not be food in mine house, saith God. Listen, when you study that and understand that, nowhere else in the Bible does God say, prove me, put me to the test. You can't put God to the test unless you are obedient to God's word. Do you understand? I mean, if you seek God, he says, okay, seek me early, you'll find me. But you have to seek him to prove it. Same thing with giving. See, there should be a joy in our hearts. You know, listen, Mario, what is that again? A wallet. What is that? Lust, covetousness. I felt it. Oh, you're... Man, it's like kryptonite. Listen, do you see this? What do you really see? Starbucks. What do you really see? See, that's why some Christians don't like the word giving or tithe or take up an offering or you're just begging for money and all this thing. No, listen, when I see this, I see Stephen Carroll. This morning when Carol sent me pictures and talked to me about the orphanage, they've been there for four straight days. She said, Bill, all the boys, they won't leave Steve's side. He's out there with the saws and the hammers and the power tools. They don't have any, absolutely no male influence. They're holding on to him. They want, show me how to drive, and they'll show. That's what I see. That's what I see. I see the joy of generosity. I see children that have no one, that have gone without an embrace or a kiss upon the cheek, or someone to hold them and tell them they're a good boy, good girl, or a beautiful girl. That's what I see. I see a empty stomach being made full. I see a heavy, helpless heart being made whole. I see it as supporting the kingdom of the living God. I see it as changing the city that we live in. If loved one, if you think that it doesn't take money to be God's whirlwind for this year, you're wrong. It takes the joy of generosity. When those people start pulling in at Christmas and those single mothers or whatnot, when they have nothing, I see hope. I see love. I see us out there doing kingdom work, because the night is coming, Jesus said, when no man can work. I don't see that as money. I see that as the next home that we build. I see it as a family walking out of a place that you would not even store your lawnmower, and they live in it. And they walk into a home debt-free that you have fully furnished. Now, that's what I see. I don't see this as loss. I see this as incredible gain and investment. Oh, loved one, listen. I don't know today why the Church of Jesus Christ, all the promises in him are yes. And again, I say yes, amen. And we live so far below because we're so afraid to give. To give to God. I told the first service, and I'm not, I love you. I'm not beating on you. I'm not trying to make you give. Do you understand that? I'm teaching God's word. I believe with all of my heart in tithes and offerings. That's what I do. You can ask some of the security guards. They have followed me because I realized I left my office. I'm in here. We're worshiping, and it's nearly time for the tithes and offerings. One day they saw me. I got up and bolted out of here. They thought there was, didn't know what was going on. I ran all the way. They ran in behind me, ran all the way to the office, said, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" I said, "I forgot my tithes and offerings. They're in my office." I'm serious. I'm a moron. But I could not teach without giving to God first. I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. I'm a grace giver. Everything is his. And he has given me everything. Oh, loved one, listen to me. Don't settle for less. Don't do that. You know, the joy, the incredible joy of generosity. Again, what did Jesus tell us? It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. That's my lucky 100. You've heard of that. Now, I don't use the word lucky like magic. But I carried a lucky 100 with me since my first pastorate. And whenever God says to give it, I give it. Maybe it'll be a woman in line with 3 kids, food stamps, and all the rest of it. Whatever God wants, it's his. But I don't see it as a loss. I see it as an investment in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, and I know it's time to go. I'm going to let you go because I know you want to get to Luby's so you can spend God's money. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give. That's not a mistranslation. Look it up in the Greek. Give. Give. And it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For with the measure you measure out, Jesus, God who cannot lie, it will be measured back to you. To you. Back. Grace.
We'll be back tomorrow with more from Pastor Bill's 2 Corinthians series. And we look forward to seeing you again. We appreciate you listening with us today. Be blessed, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our 3 services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org.
or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.